The 11th chapter of Hebrews has been called the Westminster Abbey of Faith. And certainly that is true. It's not so much men of faith, but we see what faith has done in the entire history of man from the very beginning down to the present, in all ages, under all circumstances, with men from all walks of life. This is the only Bible definition that we have of faith in this chapter here. Faith, we're told, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. First, there is the scientific definition given of it. Faith is the substance. And that word there is the opposite of the word hypothesis. It's that which actually is in the bottom of a test tube after a base and an acid have been put together. It's what is there that is a substance, that which is the thing that can be seen there. And that's the scientific definition. Faith is the substance of things hoped for, and it's the evidence. And that's the legal definition. It is the evidence of things not seen. At a murder scene, the detectives come in, and they see something you and I would never have noticed. There's a fingerprint. We didn't see it. And then there's a little hair there that has been left in the scuffle. And then there is a button that is there. We didn't see any of that. And that is brought in as evidence. And faith is the evidence of things not seen. That which is brought into court to prove the case. Now, faith, therefore, is that which looks to the future. It rests upon the past. And it's that by which we live today. Faith is the foundation of the house of faith. And faith is that by which we live and move and have our being in the house of faith. And then faith is the roof, it's the tower, that which reaches on into the future. So we have here the house that faith built. This morning I'd like for us to look at just three of those that are mentioned in this chapter. I'd like to take the first three. These three have one thing in common. They all lived the other side of the flood. They all were men of faith. We have Abel, and Abel's faith reveals the way of faith. This is the house that faith built, and this is the way to the house that faith built. Then in Enoch, we have the walk of faith, and this is the walk that leads to the house that faith built. Then we have in Noah the witness of faith, and this is the witness to the house that faith built. And this morning, will you look very briefly at those three with me? We are told here, by faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gift, and by it he being dead yet speaketh. And it takes us back to the very beginning. We are in the shadow of the Garden of Eden. There are not actually at this time too many people on the earth, but God is at the very beginning running down a line of demarcation. He's making a bifurcation that from here on out, man might know that there is a way that leads to God, and that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. God, at the very beginning, put down these foundational facts. And so we see it in Cain and Abel. Now, Cain and Abel were the offspring of Adam and Eve. I do not believe that there were ever two men on the face of this earth that were as near alike as Cain and Abel. It was the opinion of the late Dr. Harry Rimmer that they were twins. I do not know that that's true, but I would like to add this. I believe that Cain and Abel were more alike than any twins could possibly be today. Now, there's a reason for that. You see, today, two boys are in a family, sometimes even twins. One boy is he's a fine boy. He turns out well, upstanding. Well, he inherits from his mother's side. He goes back to a very godly aunt that he has. And actually, they tell us today by the Mendelian theory that that's really where he got those qualities, was from that aunt. Now, the other boy, although a twin, he's no good. He's a ne'er-do-well. He's a drunkard. He's absolutely worthless. And it's obvious that he takes after his father's side, because his father has a brother that's just like that. And this boy is inheriting from that side. Now, they tell us today that that explains the difference in two brothers that are even twins. But would you like to tell me the name of the aunt that Abel inherited from? Would you like to tell me the name of the uncle that Cain inherited from? The thing about these two boys was they're different than most of us. They never had any aunts and uncles. It had just started with Papa and Mama. And there was nobody back of that that they could draw from. Therefore, as far as heredity is concerned, it was the same. It couldn't have been different. There are those that today say environment, very important. Well, the environment of these two boys were the same, brought up in the same family, same situation, same condition. I challenge today any psychologist to reveal the difference in these two boys. And yet, may I say, there is an eternity's difference in the two boys. First of all, these two boys had inherited a nature from their father Adam, and that was a fallen nature. And in that nature, each one of them could have said, I know that within me dwelleth no good thing. Cain could have said that. Abel could have said that. I'm confident that both of these boys could have said, to will is present with me, but how to perform it I find not. Cain did not recognize that. Fact of the matter is, he ignored his true condition. He ignored that he'd inherited a fallen nature, and so he brings to God a sacrifice that was the work of his hands. And God has said that it's not to him that willeth, and it's not to him that runneth, but it's to God that showeth mercy. And this man had no regard for the mercy of God. He had regard for his own work. He's trusting himself. He's not recognizing he's a sinner. He pays no attention to that. And he brought it the fruit of the ground. It was loveless fruit. Now, don't say that he would not have won the blue ribbon at the Pomona Fair. He would have. He had lovely fruit there. Beautiful. Tasty. It would have been delicious. to have eaten. You see, the thing is that he's ignoring the fact that he's a sinner. He's ignoring the fact that if he's to be saved, it's by the mercy of God. So he comes presumptuously and in his own strength and his own ability. And at heart, he's a murderer, as every man is. All the way from Cain to Dr. Finch, the human race are murderers. And the reason that you and I didn't murder this week is because we didn't have the opportunity. It's in our heart. All the bitterness that's in the human heart. All the perversion that's in the human heart. It's not acceptable to God. God says it's desperately wicked. You can't know it. I can't know it. The doctor can't know it. No one can know it. Only God has a remedy for the human heart. And so Cain ignored it. Abel came into God's presence and brought a sacrifice of a little lamb. He came by faith. You say to me, how do you know that this boy Abel and Cain had instructions to come this way? Why wasn't Abel's sacrifice just as acceptable as Abel's sacrifice? We have no record that God had told him. Yes, we do. This is the verse that tells us. By faith, Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain. You see, faith is the response to a revelation from God. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God, and both of these boys had heard something. Cain said he didn't need to come that way. After all, why kill an animal? It's not aesthetic to begin with. And if you offer the fruit, you can come back and get it the next day and put it on the market. But if you've slain an animal and it's consumed in a sacrifice, you've lost it. Therefore, if you're a smart businessman, money-minded, sharp trader, you'll bring fruit. And you'll find that the heathen have been pretty smart. The Egyptians did that. They'd bring the offering, rich offering, one day, come back and get it the next day. Because after all, their argument was that the person who had died was a spirit. The spirit had gotten the spirit part of the offering. And they are the only ones that were real, and they could take the real offering. So they took it back. It's very cogent reasoning, by the way. And men do that today. Men still come in their own strength, with their own ability, with that which they have done, and attempt to offer that to God. And it's not acceptable to him. But this man Cain brought the little bloody sacrifice. God had told him to come. He came by faith. And yonder on the other side of the cross, he brought that which was the point to the cross. And he, by faith, brought the little lamb that pointed to the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And since he came that way, he's acceptable. Now today, you and I are not to bring a lamb. If we did, Paul said to the Hebrews here, he said that when you and I go back into this worship of offering sacrifices, we crucify afresh the Son of God. Because we're acting as if he didn't come. Because everything that was offered before he came pointed to his coming. Now that he's come, those things were shadows. And we look back now by faith. We don't need the shadow. The shadow is a picture. So that's all that a picture is. It's a shadow made on a sensitive film. And those things in the Old Testament were shadows. They were pictures of Christ. But when you've got the real article, you don't want the picture. We have the real article today, and we go by faith today to the living Christ. And so that is put down at the very beginning, the way to God. It's to be a way from here on out, regardless of the age, regardless of the day, regardless of the people, that the way to God is in recognition of the fact that we are a sinner. We need a sacrifice. That which points to the Lord Jesus Christ. Before he came and since he came, it must be a faith in him. So that today, the way to God is not a church, as important as it is, and I believe in the church, and it's not a ceremony, and I believe in a ceremony. I think it's important. It's not in service, although service certainly has its place. But it's in a personal relationship to Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. And that's what God had been saying to Cain and Abel. Cain says, as many here in Los Angeles are saying even this morning, I come to God as I am. God says, you don't come to me. No man cometh to the Father but by Jesus Christ. And you come as a sinner. You come trusting him as a Savior. This is the house that faith built, and this is the way to the house that faith built. Will you notice this next one? For here we have the walk of faith. By faith, Enoch was translated. We're acquainted with translation. Those of you that follow our noon broadcast know that we're doing some translating there in an ignominious sort of fashion. Of the epistle to the Romans. We take out of one language and put it in another language. That's been one of the most delightful things I've been doing for the past few weeks, is working in Romans, taking it out of the Greek and putting it in English. That's translation. Now, Enoch was translated. That is, he was in the language of this earth, and he got translated into a heavenly language. He was removed from this earth to another place. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death. He didn't die. All of us, when we leave this earth, if the Lord tarried, we go out through the doorway of death. This man didn't. He didn't go that route. He didn't die. He was translated, and he wasn't found because God had translated him, for before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. How did he please God? Somebody says, well, he was a very fine, upstanding man. I think that's true, but I honestly want to say this morning that that's not what pleased God. You know what it was that pleased God? Without faith, it's impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Enoch was one who pleased God by his walk, but that was a walk of faith. And we need that today as believers. Down here, we need a walk of faith. A day by day, moment by moment. In fact, we're told to walk in the Spirit. Now, walk is a step-by-step proposition. There are so many people, especially in our area, that are seeking some sort of an experience. Maybe being caught up in like in a balloon ascension and having a great experience. Somebody was telling me the other day about having a wonderful vision. And they actually told me they were caught up to heaven. May I say to you, friends, that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is a walk, and the walk has to be done here in Los Angeles. And this man, Enoch, walked by faith. You want to know the day in which he lived? He lived in the day of Noah. He lived in a day when the world was departing from God. But this man walked with God, and he walked by faith with God. Walking in the Spirit. And one day God took him. Now let me tell this again to the little girl. I know no other way of explaining it. What does it mean that God translated him and took him out of this world? The little girl's explanation has never been improved on. She came home from Sunday school and her mother asked her what they'd been studying. And she said, we've been studying about Enoch. Her mother says, well, what about Enoch? Well, she said that Enoch lived a long time ago before Noah, before the flood. And he was a particular friend to God. And every day, God would come by and say to Enoch, would you like to take a walk? And Enoch would say, yes, I'd like to take a walk. So Enoch and God walked every day together. And one day they were out walking and they got so interested that they just kept walking and walking, and they got so far from Enoch's home that finally Enoch says, my, it's getting late and I'm a long ways from home. And God says, Enoch, you're closer to my home than you are to your home. You come go home with me. And Enoch went home with God. I do not know that it could be told any better than that. That's the little girl's explanation. That's what it means to walk with God. It's not just an isolated thing down here. It's a walk that begins down here by faith in Christ as a Savior. And it continues all through this life until one day we stop walking down here and start walking up yonder. And it's by faith. You can't come to God on any other basis except by faith. You see, faith means you believe Him. You honor Him when you say you'll do what He wants you to do. When He says to you to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, you do that because He said it, and you believe Him, and you honor Him when you do that. There may be some things you don't understand. There are many things we'll not understand in this life. By faith, we understand that this earth is created out of nothing. I challenge you this morning to give me a better explanation of it. After thousands of years, men have not come up with an explanation of the origin of matter. They can tell you what happened after it got here, but they don't know how it got here, and there's no explanation for origin. None. When you say today that at one time that this was just a great mass of something, my brother, you started with a mass. And what is on the other side is, how did it get here? You are up face to face with the same thing that the Christians up against. How did it begin? And my friend, the best explanation up to this morning is, by faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the Word of God. We go by faith. And you can't please God unless you go by faith. Let's come briefly to the last one, Noah. This is the house that faith built. This is the walk leads to the house that faith built. And this is the witness to the house that faith built. By faith, Noah, being warned of God of things not seen as yet, moved with fear, prepared an ark to the saving of his house, by the which he condemned the world, became heir of the righteousness which is by faith. By faith, Noah. This man, and I've attempted to put myself in his position, preached 120 years and never made a convert.
How long would you have stayed at it? I'll be perfectly frank with you this morning. I would have handed in my resignation to the Lord before the 120 years was up. And I would have said, Lord, look, I'm not doing any good. All I am doing is preaching and nothing happens. Nothing. Fact of the matter is, they don't want to hear the message. And during that 120 years, I think his own boys left him, Ham, Shem, and Japheth. Then one day, I think probably it was Japheth. I think he became a professor in a university. One of the professors who had been away on a trip returned, and he made the statement that he'd seen some very unusual things. And they asked him what was the most unusual thing. Well, he said, I've been up here in the hill country, up the Tigris River, looking at some old fossils. And they really got an old fossil up there. It's a fella that's building a boat on dry land. And he's saying the world's going to be destroyed by flood. Most preposterous thing in the world. People listen to him and laugh. It's really good entertainment. I think Jesus turned white. And he said to him, did you get the name of the man? He said, yes, his name's Noah. You mean it's Noah that up yonder off the Tigris River at this certain place? Yes. I think Jesus got up and says, that's my father. I'm turning in my resignation. I'm going up to join him. Now, I do not know what's going to happen. And my books here teach me that nothing's going to happen. I accept our scientific explanations today, but I lived in that home, and I found out that when my dad said anything, you could believe him. And if he said God's appeared to him and a flood's coming, I suggest you boys get hip boots. It's coming. And he went up to join his father. I think maybe Ham got away from home, got with the wrong crowd, drunk. One of their number came in and told the same story. And one of them says, boy, were you drunk to see a fellow like that? That's bad as pink elephants to see a man building a great ship on dry land. But Ham was sober enough to ask the name of the man when he found out who it was. I think he stood up in that drunken crowd and he said, look here, I can't trust you. I've been with you a long time and you're a bunch of liars. But my dad, back up yonder, who's building that boat, can be trusted. He says, a flood's coming. You better start learning to swim. It's coming. And Ham left the crowd and went back to join his father because that was the witness of faith. It's true that Noah never had a convert on the outside, but he saved his family. And he went in and told his family that God had appeared to him and a flood was coming. They believed him. He had a witness to faith. These are difficult days to raise young people. And I, over a period of a quarter of a century, have seen many raised in the church go out and leave the church. There are many that have gone out from this place, out in the world today, some in liberal churches, some far from God. My friend, today you won't lose them. If you had a witness in the home. But I want to say to you, if you didn't have a witness in the home, you'll lose it. By faith,
Enoch.
He built an ark for the saving of his house, and by it he condemned the world. This is the house that faith built. And this is the witness to the house that faith built. I'm going to stop this morning at this particular juncture. How many of you today actually have looked in faith to Christ? How many of you today are walking by faith? How many of you have a witness by faith? Shall we pray? With our heads bowed this morning, briefly in this closing moment, as we come to the Lord's table, do you want to begin the walk of faith? Do you want to enter the house that faith built? The first step is faith in the Son of God. There's a living faith in Him. That's the first step. The first step leads to a walk, a life of faith. And my friend, that's a witness today to the world. With our heads bowed this morning, I'm wondering here on the main floor if you're present today. You've never begun that walk, or you're not sure today about it. But this morning, by just simple faith in the Son of God, just as simple as Abel, who obeyed God, believed God, just believed Him, and brought the little lamb. And God says today, he that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Will you believe God? You trust Him. Here on the main floor, briefly now, would you like to lift your hand and say, "Preacher, pray for me. I need to begin the walk of faith, or I'm not sure today. Remember me in prayer." Are you here today? Back on the balcony, to the sides on the balcony, just lift your hand. We'd like to remember you in prayer if you're here today. On the main floor, all the way back to the side. Down front, just lift your hand if you're here this morning. And by simple faith, would like to step out. Take the first step to Him by trusting Christ as your Savior. He says, "No man cometh to the Father but by me." Have you begun that way? Have you come that way?